Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't hesitate because I am a seed. Cause every good
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Lifeline broadcast. I am Apostle Shirley Jones, the senior pastor of Rehoboth Family Life Center and the host of this broadcast. Thank you for joining me tonight. To God be all the glory. As always, I am so honored and glad to be a part of this network, When Christians Speak Talk Radio Show. This network is doing the work of kingdom building throughout the world. You know, and we are in such a time where the gospel must be preached to give hope and encouragement. I pray that the word of this network goes even further in doing kingdom building in 2022 and beyond. To God be the glory. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, before we get into the broadcast tonight, I want to extend an invitation to everyone to join us on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time for Rehoboth Family Life Center's worship service via Facebook Live. Invite your family and friends to join with us. And, you know, this is such an awesome time to evangelize and share the good news of the gospel. Also, join us for our Bible study Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. on Zoom audio. This year, we are doing something different. The theme is exploring the Bible. We're going from Genesis to Revelation, and you can go to our church Facebook page to get information to connect. So we look forward to having you either join us on Sunday morning or also on Facebook Live and also for Tuesday for our Bible study. We have some anointed teachers that are coming and just expounding on the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and open this up in prayer. I'm just so excited for the broadcast tonight, and I'm looking forward to all that God is about to do. So, Father God, we just bless you tonight, and we honor you, Lord God, and we give you praise, and we give you thanksgiving, God, and we give you glory. Father, we thank you for your loving kindness, O God, and your tender mercies. And, Father, we say that there's nothing too hard for you to do, that, God, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, and there is no failure in you. So I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would bless these, your people, God, those that are coming on to the broadcast. I pray that, God, that you would give them a listening ear. I pray that, God, that if there be any sick among us, that, Father God, that your touch would heal and make whole. I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would just bless us, Lord God. And I pray that, Lord God, that something that they hear that will make a difference in their lives, God, that they will understand that you are the Almighty God and you're able to do anything and everything but fail. And, Father God, that they will know that everything's going to be all right. So I pray tonight even, Lord God, as I bring on my guests, Lord God, I pray for Dr. Dawn Harvey Owens tonight. I pray that, God, that you would use her mightily. I pray that, God, that you would speak out of her clay lips, Lord God, and that she, Father God, would be who she is in you, Lord God, a mighty woman of God, a servant of God, and that she shall bless us and we shall receive the things that she has to share. So we give you praise, God. We give you honor and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Well, there are people, and we were just talking about this a few seconds ago, There are people that God allows us divinely cross paths with, and because he's such a strategic God, and that God is able to allow you to meet people, and sometimes you're not sure of why, but you know that if it's God, that it's multifaceted, it's multi-layers and multi-dimensions, and I just believe that I am so glad that my path was able to cross with Dr. Dawn Harvey Owens, that God saw fit through actually one of my daughter-in-laws, through her, that I got a chance to meet her. And so tonight I'm so honored that she would take time to come and just share with us and share with me tonight. She is a woman of God who has been pastoring the church, International Destiny International Christian Center. She has been the pastor for the last 14 years. She's an author. She's an international speaker. And she's a mother. She's a wife. And she has truly been about her Father's business because she's wearing a lot of other hats to the glory of God. So welcome, welcome, and glad to have you share with me tonight on the broadcast, Dr. Harvey Owens. Amen. Dr. Owens.
Oh, there, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
Great, great. God bless you. Thank you so much for having me. I am just tickled pink, you know, because when God connects the dots, you know, it's such a blessing. And I had no idea when your daughter-in-law started volunteering at our outreach that God would send such a jewel like you. And, I mean, from the first time I met you, I felt like, especially with COVID and everything that was happening, just our initial conversation, I felt like, oh, I can go on. You know, it's just like you have somebody that understands ministry and they have a heart for God, and you can see the love of God in them. And in ministry, that's important. So just your presence has encouraged me. So thank you for having me tonight.
Amen. I'm so glad that you were able to come and to bless us. So we're just going to jump right in. Is that okay?
That is okay.
We're going to jump right in because I want the people to be able to receive from you that all that God has for you. So first of all, you know, I looked over your bio, and looking over your bio, I can truly see that you are being about your Father's business. So why don't you tell us about the community of outreach and the GAP initiative that you spearhead? You know, how did it get started, and what are the goals?
Well, you know, initially we started out like most ministries. We were doing Thanksgiving baskets for as many families as we could based on what we raised internally with our tithes and offering. And then we had a young lady that had some resources where we were able to do coat drives and shoe drives and things like that. So we were kind of, you know, just trying to figure out where our rhythm was and where we were most effective. And food tended to be the area that we could reach the most people and have the most impact. And so I had a good friend who has been doing food ministry for over 20 years, who was coordinating food pickups with Fresh Food and groceries. And she saw what we were doing and thought that this would be a benefit. And so it opened up so many doors that now currently we facilitate about 40 churches who have their own food ministry and outreaches, large and small. And then we feed on our own between 75 and 250 people a week, just depending on where the need is. And so our goal is to, I don't know, I just want to feed as many people as possible and, you know, just really use the resources that God has given us to meet the need, because to me it was just very disheartening that people would have to make decisions between food and medication. I just, you know, and it was dear to me because I think we're going to talk about it later, but I was ill as a child, and I remember my mom had to get, you know, she went bankrupt trying to save my life. And so the first night that we really did our large pickup and I saw what God was doing, even though there were people, I could not hold the tears back because I could hear God saying, you know, when it was you and you were sick, I said you, and this is what you're going to do. And I have been running ever since, like running. My poor husband, he's like, where are we going?
They got food. We gotta go. They got food.
So that's what we want to do, is just expand it. We just opened up a larger food bank. We were doing it out of our church kitchen, But we just opened up got an additional part of the building, and so we have an actual dedicated food bank now that's been open about 4 months. So we're super excited about that.
Oh, wow. Wow, so glad to hear about the food bank. You know, it becomes a reality when you actually see it. About a year or two ago, our church did a drive where we were collecting food in boxes, and we took it over to one of the food banks in Maryland. And people were coming that morning, and to see families coming, and that was the way they were going to be able to get groceries. We saw older men in trucks who were pulling up, you know, and that was the way that they were going to eat. And so sometimes we don't understand that there are people maybe right in your neighborhood or right next to you that have a need. So it really is a need. And I can attest to something you said, because there were times when, especially when my children were younger, you know, hit on some hard times and didn't know how we were going to eat until somebody knocked on the door and said, "The Lord touched my heart to come and bring you this and bring you that." So it's a reality that there are people right here. We're not a third world country. That's the interesting part. We're not a third world country, but we have people right here in the United States that are hungry. And the only way that they're going to be able to eat is that they get some help from food banks and from churches and things like that. So I salute you in your endeavor and what you're doing. And I want to hear a little bit more when, you know, we get off the line of how maybe we can help along with that, because it is a real need, especially now, even before COVID, but really now, because people have lost jobs and things like that. So it's a need. It's a need. It's a real need.
Absolutely.
And so I'm quite sure go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, and there's a need even before COVID that we can really see that people need, that they need help. So I salute you in your endeavors with your church and all that you're doing. That's just awesome. That's awesome.
I just want to mention for people who are listening that one of the reasons that we don't see the prevalent need for food is because of the financial brackets. And two of the things that the Holy Spirit showed me, one was that minimum wage does not take care of a family, period. So when we see people in our restaurants, when we see people who are waitressing and living off tips, that what we don't understand is that they're in a fancy restaurant. They have on their very nice shoes and their white shirt and their pants as a necessity, as a part of their uniform. But those people who are in that service industry or are in the job skills, and we need every skill. We need those skills to make the world go around. But based on the minimum wage in those states, that income does not provide, if you live in a decent home, you know, it doesn't provide all the things that we typically see. And the second thing is food deserts, and that's where grocery stores are in miles distance apart based on the size of the community. And so those are two of the target areas that we've hit is any food deserts where their grocery store is closed or they have to drive a certain number of miles in order to get food, senior citizen areas, and those who are affected by minimum wage.
Wow. So how long have you guys been doing it?
So we've been doing it for about 10 years. We've been doing this level of grocery store, free grocery shopping is what we call it, for about 7.5 years, but total 10.
Okay. Amen. So people are getting help, and that's so much needed. Another thing, let's switch to the topic just a little bit. I see that you're also an author of Embrace Your Greatness and a collaborator of Inspired by Love. Tell us a little bit about the book and where and how we can repurchase those books.
Oh, yeah, great. Well, Embrace Your Greatness is actually that's my heartbeat. That's a organization training curriculum that God gave me in 2006, and so we are celebrating over 15 years of helping people embrace their greatness. And what we did is we have a curriculum that's a year-long curriculum with the workbook, test kit, CDs that people can do at their own leisure, especially with COVID. And then we also have the book itself where testimonies of people who have gone through the program share their stories of victory and how they overcame life and embraced their greatness. And so all of those are on our website bookstore, which is embraceyourgreatness.org.
Amen. Amen. And the other one was Inspired by Love. What about that one?
So Inspired by Love is two volumes. They're actually eight books, but the Inspired by Love is the newest one that just came out. And so there are two volumes for Embrace Your Great, Inspired by Love. And it basically talks about how we are inspired by the love of God to overcome in different areas of our life, to be renewed, to be restored, to have faith, to take a risk, and how his love pushes us through life, whether we know it or not. Like, it's almost like we can look back over our lives and say, if it had not been for the love of God, I wouldn't have made it through that situation. And so his love is constantly, you know, and sometimes, you know, very discreetly guiding us through our troubles and into our triumphs. And so it was Inspired by Love in marriage, Inspired by Love in, you know, starting my life over again. And so different women made contributions to that book of how God inspired them to conquer that area of their life.
Amen, amen. You know, that's one of the things that we've been talking about on Sunday is I truly believe that, you know, when you think about in Genesis where God says, let us make man in our image and our likeness and give them dominion. You know, also you think about that Christ, that he, you know, he was crucified, he died, he was resurrected, and now the Bible tells us that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So I've been putting that question, putting that question out. Why do you think he did all that? You know, it's not that we get stuff. You know, God doesn't care that we get stuff, but are we working and moving in the very purpose and destiny for why we were created? So I was just drawn to that title of about embrace your greatness, because each one of us, I believe God has given us a gift, and some of us more than one gift, but at least one. But we have a lot of other gifts that God wants us to use. And I'm not talking about just being in the pulpit, but I'm talking about just, you know, you could start a business, you could write a book, you could write some songs, you know, it could be in your family, in your home with your children. I mean, there's so many things and reasons. You know, there have been 900,000 people that have died, that's recorded death within the United States, but we're still here. So, you know, we need to be asking ourselves, but why are we still here? Why did God do all that and give us all that he's given us? It's not just to sit and hold it, but it's to give out to somebody else that somebody's life could be blessed. So I'm going to definitely look at your curriculum that you have there, because that's kind of the thing that we're talking about on Sunday now. I told them, you know, for the next month, we're going to be looking at some of the barriers. One of the things that we looked at on Sunday, yesterday, was actually the fact that, you know, God is a forgiving God. And a lot of times, you know, we don't forgive ourselves, and there's so many things that get in the way of us going forward. So that's one of the things that we're going to be talking about, is how do we move forward and break down some of the barriers so that we can truly be what God has called us to be. So I'm excited to get the book and really get into it.
Amen.
You are definitely a woman of faith, and I believe that you have been shaped by your personal victories with God, even from a teenager to adult. And so I would just like if you would just share with us your miraculous testimonies, and then if you would take about 15 or 20 minutes, let's say 20 minutes, additional 20 minutes, and just speak to us about faith.
Amen, amen. Well, first, you know, sometimes when you talk to other people, and you all probably already know this about Apostle, but you know, it's almost like Mary and Elizabeth, like, you know, the anointing, and she's just saying, this is what I want you to talk about, and you can hear the faith in her voice when she's talking about it, because it's down in her, it's nothing she can do about it.
Right, so it's such
a blessing, the way she talks about it. But, you know, when I was 15 years old, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer. I had surgery. And upon going into surgery, the cancer had grown so large that they didn't think that I was going to live through the surgery. And the last thing I remember as they were wheeling me in is my mom having to sign a waiver in case I passed away on the table. They didn't want to be responsible, because they said if I did survive the surgery, they were afraid I'd survive the hemorrhaging. I wouldn't survive the hemorrhaging just because of the size. And to be 15 years old and see your mom have to, you know, sign your life away, basically, to save your life. But the angel of death did not have victory that day. The Lord stepped into the operating room, and I made it out, and I'm so thankful for that. A few months later, the cancer came back in one of my lungs. By the time I got to Duke University Medical Center, it was a spot in my brain. And, again, they gave a grim prognosis that once this type of cancer metastasizes in more than one organ, that you don't survive. And so I kept talking. I kept doing everything I normally do. And one day they said, okay, we give her the chemo for protocol. We don't think she's going to live, but the insurance says we're required to give it to her. We're just going to wait for her to stop talking. And because I didn't, they said, well, let's go back and do another CAT scan and see what's happening. And my mom said people were running back and forth, and they were calling doctors in to come look. And she finally grabbed one of the doctor's arms and said, what is going on? And he said, Ms. Harvey, we can't find anything. So not only had the cancer shrunk, it was completely gone.
Hallelujah.
And I had been in remission ever since. I've been fully healed. And cleared of that attack of infirmity ever since. And so my faith in God is like on tilt because, one, I wasn't old enough to have a warfare prayer life. So he had to do that for me. He had to want me to live. I didn't know enough about him to help ask for help in that way. And I did not grow up in church. My mother experienced some serious things in church when she was young, and she was church hurt. And so we now know that that's because the enemy was trying to keep me out of church. That's what she says now, because you were called a pastor, and he was trying to keep you out of church. But he beat me up. And so it just really, you know, it doesn't matter how life turns out. What the Lord said to me, I've got my testimony is just, you know, I've been through so much, so many different situations. I've been in an abusive marriage, you know, just things have happened in my life. And when I found my way to God, because he wasn't missing, I was, and I began to talk to him about these tragedies, you know, I mean, I had tragedies that happened, you know, in my life. And the Lord said to me, if you do this with me, you get to choose how you use what happens to you. You can't choose what happens. That's called life. But you can either use this to go where I want to take you, or you can use it to stay where you are. But you get to choose how you use what happens to you. And I decided then that I was going to give the devil a run for his money, that if he was going to send it, I was going to use it. I was not going to succumb to it. And really just put my faith in God. And I really just believe that, you know, for the love that it took God to sacrifice Christ for someone like me, someone, you know, who was a sinner, though, you know, when he says, I pray for those who believe on me, even though they haven't seen me. And so I believed on Christ, but in order to believe on him, I was a sinner first who believed in him. And so to be someone who is outside the will of God, looking for an answer, looking for a place to put my trust, because I think that when we're off track, when we are operating in sinful nature to fill areas in our life that are void, that is because he's the only thing that can fill that void. And so I just believe that putting my faith in him not only changed the course of my life, but my children. And just to see their lives now, neither one of them are in ministry, but they are ministers, meaning that their lives look like they have a relationship with God, ministers of reconciliation, and how they deal with their friends, how they deal with their peers, how my daughter prays on the cuff now, you know, because I want them to walk with God on their own because it's their relationship. But I don't know, being a broken child, if I would not have not been a broken mother if God didn't help me. So that's where my faith is, just believing that he has done something for me. And that's why Embrace Your Greatness is so important to me, is because I believe that we get left behind in our pain when God wants to use our pain to move us forward. And I know that so many times I, you know, had to figure out what was next or what God was going to do for me. And he gave me Psalm 71 and 21. And it says, you shall increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And I thought, for such a huge scripture, you shall increase my greatness. You should. This is when God's going to increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. And it kind of, you know, says to me that you have to have faith in God so that he can increase your greatness. But why would he need to comfort you while you're increasing your greatness? Because there's going to be, and he says, comfort me on every side. So it's like the scripture that says we are hard pressed on every side but not crushed. And it's like God saying the further and the closer and the more, you know, more detailed, the more you concentrate on your greatness, the more you allow me to take you where you're supposed to be, you're going to find that in some areas you get ambushed, or you might find a trauma, or you might, the Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. You might just encounter life. And obviously, he would not need to comfort me on every side unless at times it comes on every side.
Yeah.
Why would he need
to
put in the scripture, I'm going to increase your greatness, but I'm going to comfort you on every side? He didn't say shield. He said comfort. Lord, have mercy. So it means that the weapons are formed and they don't prosper, but you still get the weight of the shot, you know. And so him having to comfort me on every side, it almost prepped me to be able to keep my faith in him even when I was uncomfortable. That was my whole point, that we're not always comfortable in our faith. We might have something, a situation that happens. We might be, you know, disappointed. I said to someone today, I was talking to them, and I said, don't let your disappointment derail your destiny. What happens is our expectation now becomes the barometer for our faith. And if we don't get what we expected, then we don't believe. But you're supposed to have faith regardless of you getting what you want, because that's what activates what you want. And so the enemy knows that he can challenge that. And so, you know, just understanding that I can't be comfortable in every situation and everything's not going to be perfect in order for me to have faith. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they said, even if he doesn't. That's what I told. I want the even if he doesn't kind of faith. I know he's able. And faith is more about what I know about God than what he does for me. Lord, have mercy. That's what it's like. And if I know what he is to me, if I know who he is in my life, it wasn't about what I could get from him. Those are byproducts of being in a relationship with him. But I knew that he was sovereign. I knew that he was forgiving because I knew the mistakes I made along the way and that I still have the gift of salvation. I knew that he was merciful. The Bible says that every day there are new mercies. I knew that he gave us favor because he speaks of it in his word. And so if I knew who he was, even if I was uncomfortable, I still had faith because I knew who he was. And I think that's what's missing today. That's why the Bible talks about a great falling away. I think they see what God does, but they don't know who he is. Because if you know who he is, like if you look in the Bible and you see when they talk about Rahab and they said, why did you help us? Because we saw what your God did for you. So they had faith in who God was. What he did was the example, but who he was is what persuaded her. And I think that's what makes us whole, is when we know who he is, that he's the God of the universe, and the Bible says he is mindful of us. He's the God of the universe, and they said that he crowns us and that the glory of God is upon us and that he shall pour his anointing out on us, that that's who he is, that his characteristics are love and compassion and correction and discipline so he can increase our greatness. And so that's what faith is about, is knowing who God is, not what he does. What he does is just the benefit, but understanding that you have someone on your side that created everything so that he could help you get everywhere, what you need to do, who you need to bless, where you need to go, what your ministry is doing, and that in that you would see his fullness. He's awesome. He's an amazing God. The Bible says he sanctified you before you were born. He knew you before the womb. And Psalms it says he knew your inward parts. And so our spirit, you know, was, as we know in Genesis, he created us in spirit first. Then he created us in flesh. And so just understanding that there's a connection between our spirit, because we have the spirit of God living in us, and that the enemy is determined to keep you from getting to your divine original assignment. And he uses life against you. So you never discover who God is, because he knows if you develop faith, you're unstoppable, because he increases your greatness. It's a cycle. So if he can traumatize you as a child, if he can alienate you and your family, if he can make you feel like the black sheep, if he can make you feel like a cast out, outcast in school, all the things he does to distract you, because he knows if your spirit ever taps into who God is, it's a wrap.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's a wrap.
Hallelujah.
If you ever figure out who he is.
Yeah, you know, and that's one of the things I said to them yesterday. I said, you know, he's not moved by the fact that you go to church. That's okay. But if you ever become a living epistle, if you ever believe what the word says, if you ever start to live out what the word says, if you ever start moving towards your destiny and purpose, that's what he's bothered by. And that's when he'll come to try to distract you and get your focus and destroy you, because he doesn't want you to walk in purpose, and he doesn't want you to walk in destiny. That's what he's concerned about. Hallelujah. But something you said, too, about how it's those hard times, because it's not so much that we know what God can give us, but do we know who God is? You know, it's got to be about a personal relationship with him. And that's what you found out. You found out that even when you didn't know how to pray, and that's where I was, I didn't know how to pray or what to ask him for. All I knew that I was broken, and I would walk around crying like, I don't know what to do. My life is jacked up. What do I do? But if you're God, then you're going to tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. But that's when you learn who he is and that he loves us no matter what we're going through. And I think that's the place that we all have to reside right now, is that when you have a relationship with him, you know that he loves you, that he's merciful. Like you said, he's kind, he's faithful, he has your best interest at heart, even when it doesn't look like it or feel like it, because we don't walk by our feelings, but we got to get this thing in the spirit. And those hard places, and there have been some hard places, but those hard places are the things that you understand and you remember, because if he could do it then, oh, glory to God. If he did it then his mercies are new each and every day, and he's faithful, and that he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again, and he'll do it again. Oh, hallelujah. So what would you say? What would you say to the people that's on the line tonight as far as their faith is concerned? Somebody may be struggling with, well, I hear what you're saying, but you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've done. What would you say to that person tonight as far as faith and their relationship with God?
Well, first of all, what we've done is the reason Jesus died. Listen, this revelation right here blessed me. And it was because, you know, especially when you're called in a ministry and you really are doing it with a sincere heart for the Lord. There's no ego. There's no motive. It's not about money. It's about me and God. And listen, with some of us came kicking and screaming. We just wanted to clean the bathrooms and bless the Lord, teach Sunday school, and go on about our business. And the Lord was like, not so, sweetheart. You got more to do. I'm assigning you to this. But the first thing I would tell you is that one of the things that is so amazing about God is he sent Christ to the cross for the very thing you think is too much, and that Christ has taken on the weight of our sin. And I like to describe it as, you know, when you commit a crime in any state, they collect what they call evidence, and they take this evidence. And I think this is so amazing, but they take this evidence and they put it in a vault. They put it in a locked area to protect the evidence so they can use it against you. That's what they do when you commit a crime. And they lock it up, and you have to sign it in and sign it out, because they have to document that. And that's what the enemy does with your mind. He signs it in and he locks it in your mind so that he can use it against you in your mental mind of court. But when Jesus went to the cross, he went into the evidence vault, and he got rid of all of the evidence. He took on sin, even though he was not sin. And so the very thing that you think is too much in the spirit realm doesn't even exist. Lord, have mercy. Because he separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. He puts them in the sea of forgetfulness. So the very thing that the enemy is using to cause you to draw back from God or feel unworthy from God, in the spirit realm, it doesn't even exist, because it's in the sea of forgetfulness. It doesn't even exist anymore. And so Jesus has paid the ultimate price and the penalty for our lives. And rejoicing in the fact that we know that there's a risen Savior, and this just blessed me, whoever liveth to make intercession for us. So first he died to redeem us, and now he sits to intercede for us. And so the battles that we're having, we have to learn to give those to God, to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us and to defeat our thinking, because it is not God's ability that to forgive us that is lacking. It's our ability to believe that he will. We think he's like people, that he'll remember everything or that we'll be embarrassed or something to happen. But I want to assure you that God is not keeping record of what you've done. He's putting it, when you repent and turn, he washes that thing away. He is faithful and just to cleanse us of our sins. And so we aren't even the same people we were in the world. Like when we meet people now, after the Holy Spirit has done a work on us, they're almost confused about how far you come and how blessed you are in your temperament and how you handle things. And I had, my defense mechanism was laying people out. Like, I didn't start anything, but don't bother me. And it was the way, because of the things that happened. I was mishandled as a child. My father and mom divorced when I was young. And so I had to find a way to keep people off me. Well, because I didn't know the Lord and wasn't disciplined, that thing followed me. And until I learned that, I didn't trust God enough to protect me. So even though I was saved, I was not allowing him to do it because I had to defend myself. And so I had to learn to give it all to God and to release myself from my past, because that still meant that my past had a stronghold on me. So I would just encourage you to trust the Lord, to turn your life over to him in the aspect of releasing everything that's happened, and that there is no good enough for God. If there was a scale of who was good enough to be saved, we would not need Christ. If we could save ourselves, we would not need Christ. But because our righteousness is as filthy rags, no one is perfect is what that means. Everyone needs a Savior, and the Savior has risen. The Bible says he has the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And so we have now, you know, found our way. The second thing I would tell you about your walk with God is, you know, a lot of times life makes us think God is not there, or why is my life hard? But the Bible tells us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And the reason that that's important for you to remember is, the valley of the shadow of death is hard times. It's life. It's what happens. And I have to say that even though we're giving you all the challenges that God helps us overcome, those challenges don't outweigh the blessings and the glorious life that we live as Christians. But we just want to share those with you so that when they come, you're equipped and it doesn't make you quiver in your faith with God. I have enjoyed being saved more than I have enjoyed any other phase of my life. And so, yes, there are seasons of victory, but you can't have a victory without a war. There are seasons of triumph, but you can't have a triumph without a challenge. And so, yes, we have these, you know, it's like the 80-20 rule. 80-20%, we are hallelujah. I mean, 80%, we are hallelujah. 20%, we are in warfare. So we want you to know that, yes, it is a victorious life in Christ. We triumph. But that 20% will try to come get your 80%. And that's what we're trying to equip you with, is that when life comes, when you are in the valley of the shadow of death, you get a bad medical report, the devil reminds you of your past, you have a financial challenge, your children are going through a hard time. The Bible says that we do not fear that time because God is with us. And I'll tell you something else. The valleys produce character. There are things that I have learned about myself in a trial. There are things that I have learned about myself when a problem arose or when a person hurt me that I would not have seen, recognized, or developed in if it hadn't happened. And that would have hindered where God was taking me, because I needed that discipline that I learned in that area to be elevated in my greatness. When God says he'll increase your greatness, that's why you need to be comforted on every side. And though God doesn't send these fires, these wildfires around you, the enemy does. God uses everything the enemy sends. And so because of my faith in God, I'm a firm believer that when life happens to you, God has already placed in you what you need to overcome it. And he only allows it as long as he's using it. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28 that it's spiritually illegal for a challenge not to pay you. How do we know that? It says all things work together, good and bad. All things work together. So
all
that means
things,
there's
yeah.
a spiritual principle. There's a spiritual law that says that the blessing has to bless you. When you look at that word to in the Greek, it means to turn. So it's to us, to those who are called according to his purpose. It means to turn. So that means when something bad happens in your life, by biblical law, based on the text, that bad thing has to turn and bless you. So you need to tell everything that's a valley experience. You owe me. I'm coming to collect. You need to tell everything that's a challenge. You owe me. You're in debt to me. You have to bless me. It doesn't matter how you bless me, but you cannot make me cry. You cannot make me challenge. You cannot cause me to be disappointed. You can't cause me to be fearful and it not bless me. And God uses those things to make us great because we wouldn't learn those things about ourselves without those seasons. And so don't let how you feel affect your faith. Put your faith in God and give him your feelings so he can show you how to use them to help you win.
Amen. 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 It's just like, we said, about a week or so ago, I said to the church, I said, you are not your circumstances. You know, do not allow your circumstances to speak to you, but you speak to your circumstances. That we have to take authority over those things. That we're not, just because it's been a long time or it doesn't look good or we don't know how it's going to turn up or how it's going to change, but the God that I serve, like you said, all things, not some things. He didn't give us a list, only these things that he said, but all things work together for the good. So in this, even the good, the bad, the ugly, and the stupid, it is going to produce something in my life that I am going to need to be able to become all that God has called me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and we have to share, I'm glad you shared that part because a lot of times people give people that are new Christians a false impression of what living in the kingdom is. It's not where everything is going to always go right because he said it rains on the just as well as the unjust. He said, but I am be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So, yes, you're still going to go through. That's just life. That's what life is. But I don't have to concentrate on the fact that I'm going through, but what I can do is change my narrative, and I can say, but I'm coming through. Not that I'm just going through, but I'm coming through because of the God that I serve. Hallelujah. So I'm praying
Hallelujah.
That somebody just got that message that you just preached. I said, was she in church with us yesterday or what? Because, you know, that's what I told him. I said, don't hide your scars. Your scars are a witness to you that, yes, you've been through something, but you came through. Hallelujah, because you're still here. So don't hide the scars. Don't hide the things that you've gone through, but let it produce in you the best of you that God will be glorified in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Another thing is, too, is like sometimes God will give like a word. I say, you know, sometimes they say there's a word for the year. And I don't necessarily say it's a word for the year because I believe God's word is everlasting. And so sometimes we may be in a particular season, but that season
mm-hmm.
spills over into the rest of our lives. So what I always say is when he gives me something for the church, I said, it's for like 2022 and beyond. And so I just believe that, yes, we're still in currently in a pandemic, but God is still blessing. God, people are still having babies. People are still getting married. People are still buying houses. People are still starting ministries. I mean, there's still a lot of things happening. But I believe that this is a time where we have to really get our ear to God and hear his instructions and live by wisdom and revelation and authority and power that we're able to move into the vein of what we're called to be upon the earth. This is not the time to just nilly-willy walk around like we don't know what time of day it is, but we need to get before God and live out of the counsel of the mouth of God so that we can walk in our purpose and our destiny, because I believe that people and things are waiting for us to get in place. And as we get before God, he is going to allow those things in us to manifest so that somebody else's life can be blessed. So I know God's been speaking to you. What do you have in your spirit as far as believers? What do you believe God is saying to us as believers, not only as us as believers, but as a church, because we are the church? What have you been sensing in your spirit of the position that we need to be taking as believers right now?
That's a blessing. Amen. You are so awesome. I think that, and I know what you mean by themes, and I know people like, oh, this is the year of double, and this is the year, but in right. different, you know, like you said, different dispensations of time, certain things happen, you know, different seasons of life, certain things happen. And for this season, you know, we have lost so many people. And I think the reality that can even happen can be shocking, that people can be
yeah.
wiped out in that number by an invisible enemy. Can be shocking, though we're still here. And that's what the Lord said the same thing to me, is that, you know, you're still here. And so, you know, you grieve and you love, but you live because I left you to do that. And so what the Lord had put in my spirit is the year of no regrets. And it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier, is the things that the enemy uses to play with our minds and to cause us to be off track, or what we use, say, you know, well, this isn't the time, and or I already messed this up, or I already made too many mistakes. And God said for his people, and this is what I'm seeing, like you said, people are still getting married, people are still having babies, all the things that are happening, people are still building businesses and buying homes. And it is because God is the master do-over, but it is hard for him to take you to the next phase or phase of what he wants to take you to when you're regretting the last phase, when you're regretting your childhood, and I believe that regret, the stain of regret, has been one of the biggest hindrances for the body of Christ. And because this is a season of do-over, and what I mean by that is in the Bible, you see different areas where there are seasons of do-over. Saul, Paul, season of do-over. He was in
yes.
opposition to God, and he became now a disciple who wrote a very large portion of the New Testament. Rahab, she was a harlot who turned out to be Boaz's bloodline. Like, you see these
yes.
do-overs. You see Ruth, and you see that she was a Moabitess who now started to worship God. He masters in do-overs, and a lot of people don't really say this, but God even gave Boaz a do-over because he gave him a younger woman that he could start his life over. Now, we know he didn't live a lot longer, but it's almost like God said, these last days you got left, I'm going to give you a do-over. I'm about to bless you. So God masters
right.
the seasons of do-overs. And I believe that if you felt like you were missing an opportunity, that there's probably a stain of regret somewhere that didn't let you take advantage of it the last time. If you feel like, you know, in this season, you know, I should be doing something else, or it didn't pan out like I thought it was, God is not done with you yet, because out of everyone that has left, you are still here. And so if you
yes.
are still here, there is still hope. If you are still here, there is still opportunity. If you're still here, there is still a chance. And so that's why it's just so important to let the stain of regret be washed away by the power of the Holy Spirit. Forgive yourself for what you can't forget. That's what I always say. People have regret because they can't forget it, which causes them not to be able to forgive it. But, you know, forgive yourself for what you're struggling to forget, and allow God to take you into this do-over stage. If you look, you know, so many people, Noah got a do-over with the ark. You know, he was building an ark in a period of time where there had never been rain, and God gave him another life after the flood. So, no, he wasn't someone who was in a bad phase with God, but he got a whole different life after the flood. And so just understanding these situations where God, you know, gives us do-overs. And so that's what's in my heart for you, is that the stain of regret would not rob you of your future, would not rob you of the reason that God left you here, and that you would allow the Holy Spirit to replace your pain with purpose and to dissolve your disappointment and give you destiny, so that you can walk out what God calls you to do, and that you will be getting. I've seen some do-overs in my life during COVID. You know, our church is not going to ever be the same in a good way.
Right.
Now that we've
yes.
maneuvered it properly, it can go north or south. You know, church is never, ever going to be the same, but how we maneuver it with the do-over determines the outcome, not the devil, not like can we maneuver this system, this situation. And I believe this, that you were graced to be born right now, that you were graced to be in the earth right now. Why are you here right now? Why did you make it? Why are you still alive? You know, you were graced to be here right now, and that you are unstoppable if you allow God to remove this, the spirit of regret or the I wish I coulda, shoulda, woulda. All you have to do is take him upon his word and let him give you this do-over. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I believe in that do-over, it's on another level, you know, and that's, you know, we're talking about God, another level, another dimension. When he says that I have not seen or ear have heard or entered into the heart of man, the things that God has for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. There is another dimension of things, revelation, power, and authority that God has for his people. But like you said, we got to get past some stuff so that we can tap into what God really has for us, and not only for us, but that we can give out to other people so their life can change as well. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to all that God has. Each morning I wake up and I write in my journal, I'm excited about my day. I'm excited about the things that are forthcoming. God, and I thank you in advance for all the things. I pray I miss nothing, that I see everything I'm supposed to see, hear everything I'm supposed to hear, and do everything I'm supposed to do in this day, because this is the day that I have. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all that God has for us as individuals and all that God has for us as a church and a body of Christ. Well, one other thing I want you to do real quick, if you could do this for us, you know, I thought about the fact that you have truly have experienced divine healing through Christ Jesus. And so if you would just take a few seconds and just pray for anybody that may be on the line that's struggling in their body, whether it's a mental illness, whether it's a physical infirmity in their bodies, that you would just pray for healing, not only for them, but for their families and for their loved ones.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, thanks for the opportunity. I'm so blessed to just be able to share with you tonight and talk about our Father. And so for those of you who, you know, if you're just chiming in, I understand, you know, the fight of terminal illness. I understand, you know, the mental attack that can happen with life being what it is. And I have to honestly say that, you know, mental illness and the struggles that people have, when we look at them, you know, there's so many different components that give us what it is. And so I want to pray with you, because I don't want you to think that life being the way that it is in this season or the way that it's attacked you is uncommon. You know, people have struggled every day. So the first thing I want to do is just give you permission to get through what it is you're going through without feeling like you shouldn't be there in the first place, and that you would be encouraged by what God is saying in your life. So, Father, we just thank you for each and every person right now. We thank you for each and every family, and we just give you glory for what you're doing in their lives. We ask you, God, to give us the wisdom to know how to maneuver this thing called life, how to not be one of those who have fallen away, but to keep our eyes stayed on you. And so we come against anything that's ungodly in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare by your word, O God, that it is broken into pieces, that it has no power, that it has no authority, that it shall not, cannot prevail in the lives of your people. We come after the spirit of mental illness right now and suicide, O God, and we declare that it has the loosest grips on the minds of your people, that there's a supernatural breakthrough happening right now in the spirit realm over their minds. And we declare that they are free, Father God, and filled with the power of God to defeat every enemy. We declare that your thoughts shall not hold you captive, but we bring them into captivity according to the word of God right now in the name of Jesus. We declare that the power of God would rest on your life today and forevermore, that you would be well equipped to handle the enemy in this space. We declare that you do have the power. You are good enough. You are well enough. You can succeed in the things of God, and that what is on your mind now belongs to God and is no longer mishandled by the enemy. We declare that every weapon of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus is destroyed, that it has no effect in the lives of the believer. And we speak right now to the atmosphere that it has to yield its fruit to the people of God. We declare that any infirmity, any sickness, anything that would come after our bodies shall not prevail in Jesus' name, but that we would see the hand of God fully manifest over the lives of his people. We are declaring right now that you are healed. We are declaring right now that the power of God is on you. We veto every claim that the enemy has over your body, and we speak right now that your body will do what God designed it to do, and we command your body to defend you right now in the name of Jesus. We speak right now that you get the care and the help that you need from every physician. And we declare by the blood of Jesus that you are healed and whole, that by his stripes you are healed. We cancel through the blood every satanic attack or covenant or exchange or vows that the enemy has tried to speak over your family, and we sever its ties. We snatch everything that God has for you. We redeem it from the hand of the enemy through the blood of Christ. And we declare that he shall have no authority in your life. You are whole. You are healed. You are in your right mind. And God is doing a new thing in you. We command that every plant that the enemy has put in your life to cause you to be derailed or dismantled is annihilated. And we arrest every ungodly thing that would stop you from being whole in the name of Jesus. We ask God right now through the power of Christ not to just keep you, but to refresh you and to renew you and to restore you, to re-energize you and heal you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. We declare that every problem that has risen up in your life, in the lives of your children, in the lives of your household, is resolved right now, that supernatural manifestation is resting on your home. And anything that has illegally assigned itself to your life, assigned itself to your family, assigned itself to your finances, that has found a crack, a window, or a door to enter your life, we shut every door. We close every window. We seal every crack, and we cancel its assignment and its ability to come against you and your family right now in the name of Jesus. We declare joy over your life. We declare peace over your life. We declare supernatural strategy and the power of God over your life. We declare that you are whole. We pray that you would see the joy of the Lord in every area of your life, that you will see God's hand, that you will trust him, and more importantly, that he shall increase your faith. We speak right now that this call tonight has increased your faith. We speak right now that you've had an encounter with God in your home, and it's increased your faith, not because of what we said, but because of who he is. In Jesus' name we pray, and my soul says amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not because
Hallelujah.
Of what we said, but because of who he is.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory
yes,
to God.
Yes. Hallelujah. 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 Well, God, we bless you, God, and we honor you, God, and we adore you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I just want to say, even before we get off the broadcast tonight, is that if you have received that prayer wholeheartedly and you're just waiting for God just to make a difference in your life and you're asking him to take your life and that he will be your priority, then let me know that that was you. I received it. I received it, and I want God to make a difference in my life. Then let me know so that I can send you some additional information, and you can reach me at ApostleSJones@RehobothFLC.org, and I'll be sure to make contact with you and send you some additional information. Well, hallelujah. I've been so blessed. So blessed tonight. So blessed. Dr. Dawn Harvey Owens, I thank you so much for sharing your insights, your revelation, and your words of encouragement. And I pray that you continue to be blessed and be a blessing, you and your family. Amen.
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 God bless
Amen.
You. Thank you again for the opportunity.
Amen.
We love you. God bless you. Amen.
God bless you, too. So I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and join us again next month. I pray that the Lord bless you and protect you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. and that the Lord look with favor on you and give you peace. Love you guys. Love you guys. Have a great evening. Have a great evening. God bless. God bless. God bless.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Just want to remind you that His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall is every Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy with Pastor Ray and Friends is every first, second, and fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life with Pastor Ray is the first and the third Sunday at 7 p.m. Challenge to Change with Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Our monthly broadcasts are as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones is every first Monday at 7 p.m. The Bold and the Beautiful with Reverend Novita Reed, Reverend Curtis Austin, and Minister Jordana Cunningham is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McElwain is every third Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover, The Body of One with Pastor Eric and Pastor Tamika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk with Ray Rose, Antonio Mitchell, Tyrone Rose, Cleophas Malone, and Elster Green is every second Sunday at 7 p.m. Our weekly prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. It's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. The dial-in number is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499. This is a free conference call number, okay? Matters of the Heart Singles Ministry is a new ministry with the host of Pastor Ray Rose and Pastor Maggie Wilson. It's every third Friday at 7 p.m. I do also want to encourage you to go and check out our website, whenchristianspeak.com. You'll find a little bit more information about the different hosts and about the different shows. Please continue to like us on our Facebook and Instagram pages of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. And also, if you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so by sending an email to whenchristianspeak@gmail.com, or you can send us a message to any of the social media sites. Thank you again for listening to When Christians Speak Talk Radio. God bless you.